quite impressive. It's sending you a message. I'm gonna make your hairy dreams come true.
My beard,
you know you want it. Now, baby, it's time to get on it. Girl, don't be afraid, cause I am bringing my beard to you.
What's up, boys and girls? Welcome to the Drunken Beardsman. I'm your host, JD, and with me, as always, is Drunkle Dan. Just kidding. I'm flying solo today. Unfortunately, Dan couldn't make it to the hallowed hall of the beards, so, yeah, it's all me. So, without further ado, it's time for a booze review. So, this week I had to go a little bit of El Cheapo way, and I got myself a bottle of Jim Beam White Label, a four-year-old. It's produced in Claremont, Kentucky in the US by Beam Suntory. There's a shit ton of history that comes with it, so I'm just going to give you a quick brief run through. There was a guy named Johannes Reginald Beam, who was a farmer who began producing whiskey in the late 1700s. In 1795, he sold his first barrel of it. In 1820, David Beam took over for his father at the age of 18. The distillery was then moved to Nelson County in 1854 to capitalize on the growing network of railroad lines connecting the states. James Beauregard Beam managed the business and got it through Prohibition and rebuilt the distillery in Claremont in 1933. 1935, the company changed its name to James B. Beam Distillery Distilling Company, and from that point on, the bourbon was thus called Jim Beam Bourbon. In 1954, Jeremiah Beam obtained ownership after working as the master distiller for some 30-odd years. In 1987, Jim Beam's first small batch was introduced by ye-old Frederick Bucano II, who you might know from when I did the Bucano's small batch review. Frederick Bucano III became the seventh generation Beam family distiller in 2007. In January this year, Beam was sold to the Japanese company, half-sold to the Japanese company's Suntory Holdings. There's around about 30 or so different straight, single-barrel, blended, liqueur, and craft bourbons that carried the Beam name, which isn't really surprising, as in my opinion, Jim Beam White Label is one of four introductory or entry-level spirit world. Being Jack Daniel's Whiskey, Johnny Walker Scotch, and Smirnoff Vodka. Beam White Label was my first drink when I first started drinking, and it's pretty well been a staple spirit in my cabinet since. It's aged for 4 years, it's 40% ABV or 80 proof. So let's get right down to it, shall we? On the nose, it's pretty fucking sweet. It's got a nice oaky scent with a hint of cinnamon, like most bourbons. The sweetness does come from a very, very subtle caramel scent if you continue nosing it. So yeah, it's a nice light golden colour. Like I said, it's got a nice sweet oaky scent, and let's get to it. Cheers. Now on the tongue, it's pretty straightforward, really. You get the usual oak and cinnamon with a bit of spice and that subtle caramel that you smelt. Yeah, it's pretty well what expected to be a bourbon. It gives a good burn mid-palate and finishes pretty evenly with a well-balanced mild burnt smell with the aftertaste. All in all, I like it. It's cheap. Comes at about $32 Australian. And like I said before, it's a decent introductory bourbon, and it's good to mix with Coke and ice and sit around the fire with friends. So yeah, I'll give this one a solid... I'm going to give this one a solid B. So there you have it. Moving right along to... Defiance and Dominion have been reviewed for their third and second season respectively. Sci-Fi had finally given us the good news just recently for both shows. They'd been finished for a while, actually, which I don't know about you, but I'm a fan of both, and I was getting a little bit fucking worried. Thought Sci-Fi was going to pull a Warehouse 13 on us. A little early this time, actually. But they came through for us in the end. Both shows have been picked up for a 13-episode run and will return mid-2015. So that's good news. Just to stay on the topic of TV series, though, how fucking good is Season 2 of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Fuck yeah! Fucking Chloe Bennett, who plays Sky, is looking hot in a new role as the official as an official field agent. Ming-Na Wen as Agent May is still a hot badass, which is always good in my books, because let's face it, a good-looking chick who can kick some ass and hold her own is fucking hot. Clark Gregg, who plays Agent Coulson, Director Coulson, is still delivering those awesome one-liners we've all come to love and adore. And, actually, spoiler, it's interesting to see that he's actually sharing these so-called episodes and documenting them too. You know, the ones that he draws those weird patterns on the wall, almost like a fucking circuit board pattern kind of thing. Still reckon it's part of something to do with the Kree. It's gotta be! But anyway, I'm going to destroy this name and apologise now. Ian de Kaestekar, who plays Fitz, what a fucking turn he's had. The damage from the coma that he's had and the coping mechanism with Simmons leaving is pretty interesting, which I didn't even know from watching the series, unless I'm the one that's been under a rock somewhere. Anyway, Fitz has this thing he has trouble with, like relaying what he's trying to say to people, and has an hallucination of Simmons with him, who he helps him out. That whole situation, I'm loving how they did, because they made it look like she was still there. She only hung out with and spoke to Fitz while they were in the lab, which, you know, that's what they did. And yeah, to be honest, I didn't even know that she'd left until at least maybe three quarters of the way through the first episode. And by the end of it, they dropped the hallucination bomb, which was an awesome twist, if I say so myself. So looking forward to more awesome episodes from that series, and what intertwining stories it has with future Marvel movies. So yeah. Oh, actually, speaking of shit I'm looking forward to, fucking Alex Winter has come out and said they're doing another Bill and Ted movie. Fucking oaf, man. So, now he's gone and announced that it isn't a reboot, which is, but it's definitely a sequel, which is good in my books, because, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm starting to get over reboots and remakes. It's based on what Bill and Ted are up to in their 40s, what becomes of them, and what they have achieved, or actually, rather, what they haven't achieved. The last installment, I think, was back in 1991 with Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, and there'd been rumours for the past few years there was going to be a follow-up, but now it's actually confirmed. Apparently they've written the draft, which took a while. They've rewritten it and rewritten it so many times, but they finally got one that they're happy with. They've got the finance which they need. They're just working on the script, so that's good news. According to Alex, there's multiple versions of themselves in this one, which to me kind of speculates multiversity, which I'm down for, but it's been done so many times, so I reckon they need to be careful with this one. But nonetheless, I'm excited. Like I said, I grew up with these movies, watched them countless times. Yeah, I'm excited to see what they come up with. No confirmation on when it's going to be released as of yet, but I am assuming it's going to be late next year or early 2016. So, shit. That's it from me. You can find everything you want to know about us at www.thedrunkenbeardsman.com. From there, you can head over and like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, rate and review us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. And if you have any questions about the show or have a suggestion for a great bottle of booze that you've had for us to try, or even just drop in and say hello, you can send us an email at mailbag@thedrunkenbeardsman.com. So that's it from us, or rather me, really. So stay bearded and beautiful, and I shall see you next week. Cheers!
are hooked. Just get up nice and close, girl, don't be shy.
My beard.
Just breathe it in, put your mouth on my chin.
Baby, just relax, reach out your hand and put it deep inside.